KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. From the 3-2-1, did Corey ask how many sandwiches that guy is eating?
Oh, my gosh, dude. I guess that really set the table, huh?
I want to make this very clear. I think the interview is fantastic. There's just this one question
you,
that Corey
asked. You peer pressured me into asking
that,
this.
Look,
you peer pressured me.
Alec, does that sound like me?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Well, you know, that's...
You've been known to do that.
That is a fair point, and I will admit, we're going to play the interview. Early on, it really, really seems like people want to hear the question.
Oh, no.
The regular interview, and then we'll see if we play that other question. It's pretty shocking. But without further ado, let's throw it to Joe Milton right here on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. And we are here with Joe Milton. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing great, man. Thank y'all for having me. But also, man, I'm blessed to be out here. It's Cali weather. I'm out here for the first time. So it's great, man. Oxnard is beautiful. So
you prefer this weather to 103 like it is back home?
Absolutely.
Man, me too. I keep texting my wife weather updates. That's probably not the right thing to do, is it?
That's not the right thing to
okay.
do.
Okay. All right. Now, there, you talked about how a little bit of a rougher start maybe to practice today, but finished really strong. There was one particular play. It looked like the ball got stripped from you, but it looked like it might have been after the whistle.
Yeah.
What was your takeaway on that play particularly?
It was after the whistle, but just regardless of that, just finish the ball, just bring the ball back to the ref. That's something that I kind of grew upon when I took my time at Tennessee. It just always hand the ref the ball. And for me, and that rep right there was like, you know, I may turn around and say something, but at the same time, it's more of like, Joe, you got to keep the ball high and tight until the whistle blow or until it's time to hand the ball to somebody and somebody asks for the ball. So that's what I should have been doing.
And you see that a lot with the running backs in particular. I know the tight ends and wide receivers will do it as well. Can you just go back for just a second, the importance of finishing that play and then going all the way through?
You know? You know, just first off, just throwing the ball away in the beginning and not being able to cut back like that much because there's a lot of people flowing that way. And, you know, when you go back into traffic like that, things can get bad. I understand that I'm 6'5 and I'm 232, and that's all good and all, but D-linemen are bigger than me. And those guys, when they land on you, it's not fun. So just being smart with that, keeping the ball high and tight, and just the 3 points of contact. So just doing that, remembering that, because we as a quarterback, if a running back or the receivers did anything like that, we're the type of person that'll be on them. And, you know, so it starts with us, with the red jersey. So keeping the ball high and tight.
Walk me, you break huddle and you walk up to the line of scrimmage. Walk me through the whole process before you say hut. How does that all go?
It depends on the play. If it's a, for instance, if it's a pass play, I kind of, after the huddle break, my eyes go straight to the middle of the field. You know, just seeing what the coverage is, seeing if it's too high or one high. That's all I need to know so far. And after that, I'm assessing my slot. So wherever my slot is on the field, if we have one, I'm going to look at the nickel. If the nickel is inside or outside leverage. After that, it's pretty much kind of play ball. Kind of got my little assumptions on what I think it is. And after that, after the whistle, after I say hut, you know, just – it's going to be what it is at that point.
That is a shockingly short amount of time to have to process all that information, though, isn't it?
Definitely.
Like, I think that's – people think about playing the position, and I don't know how much they think about when you break the huddle to when you snap the ball, how short that time is.
Definitely. It's definitely short, but it's also like, you know, I've been doing it since the third grade, so it's kind of it's kind of like second nature now, not to just go out there and just break the huddle and then be like, okay, yep, here we go, except – and not understanding what's going on back end, because the back end can change and they change is what our guys do. So therefore, if we want to do that, then we do it.
You want to trust your receivers.
Yep.
And you want to, like, A, how do they gain your trust? Mm-hmm. But B, how do they gain your trust when they are covered?
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I just got to trust that he's going to get it.
Yeah. I think it starts off the field, man. You know, not even knowing what a person can do on the field, but just knowing their why. I feel like that goes a long way. And a lot of people don't talk about that, you know, the outside of football. Like, how much are we bonding? How much do I know this person? Because at the end of the day, y'all so close to each other, right?
Yep. Right.
And if you was having an off day, he would know that, so therefore he would talk more.
That's a great point. And that's a great point.
And it's like for us as a quarterback, it's like I want to make sure that my receiver is working hard, but also I want to know where his why is. Why is his love for the game so strong? You know, what's going to make him go?
Right.
And you also want to be able to talk to guys on the sideline because some guys not going to take your feedback. They're not going to take it lightly. You know
right,
what I mean?
So right.
Being able to understand their why, understand where they come from is like, you know, you get to talk to them how you want to talk to your best friends or whatever it may be, and it builds.
That being said, it's still okay to talk a little to a receiver who his team might have cheated in college to be, right?
Oh, most definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. Absolutely.
Talking about you, Jalen Brooks.
Absolutely. Just,
can you describe y'all's relationship? Because I know, obviously, newer to the team, but it does seem like y'all have started to form that bond. Let me know if I'm out of line on that.
Nah. Definitely. You know, outside of football, like I said, you know, just going over to JB house, or they coming over to my house, or we all going to Dak house. Like, no matter what it is, like, we're all bonding, and we all, like, found ways to cope with each other. Like, JB likes cooking. My third hobby is cooking. So it's like JB hosted a little cookout. I brought some of my food over. He already had food made. He did all the barbecue stuff. I made the dirty rice. I don't know if y'all know what that is.
Yes, absolutely.
Wait, hold on. Why do you think we might not know what it is?
I don't know.
You sure?
I'm from the South. So.
Okay. I'm from the South?
We were born here
Florida.
In Texas.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you consider Texas the South?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know there's some people
it's
who
hot, man.
Yeah.
Anything hot, I consider
what
it.
Is your, what is your favorite thing to cook then? Like, I grew up barbecue guy, so I love doing, I love smoking briskets and stuff like that. What is your thing?
Me, I would say my baked spaghetti, depending on who I'm cooking for.
Okay.
Yeah, depends on
trying to impress somebody.
Yeah, I mean, I got a girl, so I ain't trying to impress nobody else. So,
but her?
For my girl, if she usually say that she wants spaghetti, it's probably once out the week.
Okay.
So, she don't like my spaghetti, how I cook it. I add sugar in my spaghetti.
Oh, that's the way to do it. Yeah, that is absolutely the best spaghetti
it's
sauce
like
I ever
a
had.
It's like loaded spaghetti, though. Yeah. So I cut up little sausage links.
Uh-huh.
I put pepperonis on top. I put cheese on top. I bake it in the oven.
Yeah.
So it's a loaded. It'd be loaded with ground beef.
When y'all do some studying and she's helping you study,
then
you're like, okay, this is your reward. Some spaghetti. Or she's like, no.
She doesn't like the way he cooks it, though.
She don't like the way I cook it. And she like the thin noodles.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Angel hair.
Yeah, I don't.
You like the...
I like the regular noodles.
Okay.
Yeah. But you guys got plenty of other stuff in common.
Most definitely.
Okay, good.
Most definitely.
Well, spaghetti doesn't feel like a make or break for your relationship.
Nah, it's not.
Yeah, what's more fun, juking somebody at the second level or trucking
somebody?
It's a good feeling, isn't it?
It is, especially when they was talking trash part of like a play before, and it's like, bet. I'm going to catch you. Man, when I catch you, it's going to be bad. Especially if somebody waiting on me to tackle me. Like, why are you waiting on me to – why am I running full speed at you and you're just waiting on me? You know what I mean? Come meet me halfway or something.
That does feel a little disrespectful.
Yeah.
They're like, I can take you down,
right.
Stand still.
And I'm going to run right through you.
We were talking about this earlier on the show today. Who do you think is the best fictional quarterback of all time? Whether it's movie, TV, whatever, do you got to go to? It's a tough question. We debated it quite a bit.
Yeah, there was like top 25 list that we had to go through a little bit.
Jeez, that's hard. I don't know, man.
Is that harder than any of the football questions we've asked so far?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Probably harder.
All right. That's fair.
I'll give you a minute to think about that a little bit. There was a report over the weekend that Jaden Blue doesn't have a great work ethic.
Yeah.
I have a lot of high hopes for Jaden Blue this year. Why do you disagree with that report?
For one, I was going to comment on that, and then I was going to put BS.
Mm-hmm.
For two, and it's like, we don't even know you who commented on it. And it's
right.
Like, for you to comment on a rookie that's literally posting on Instagram every day of him working, what sense does that make? You know what I mean? Make something correlate with each other. And it's like, that wasn't correlating. And you never even been in our building since like 25 years ago. So it's like,
yeah.
Who do we believe here?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of that situation. And it's like, for me, it's like I respect his work ethic. Ever since he came in, it was like his head was down. He was just working. You know what I mean? And it's like, I didn't, before that article even came out, I would never even thought that. You know what I mean? And you play with him on NCAA. You know he did.
Well, I'm curious, and I don't know if you felt this way going back to New England, but like, how do you maybe battle some of the media narratives versus, like, I just can't pay attention to that? Because, you know, one of the things people were like, oh, Joe Milton's mad that he can't compete for the starting job. Like, whether they talk to you or not, first of all, I think it's totally fair to want to compete for a starting job.
Sure.
But, like, how do you balance, hey, I'm here for the team versus, man, you didn't even ask me. You didn't even talk to me.
I didn't even see that until you said it.
Okay, I'm very sorry.
I really don't. To me, I really don't care.
Yeah.
It's all about getting better than me. It's for the long run. You know what I mean? It's not a sprint. It's a journey. So I feel like, you know, just trying to just stop here and just compete, and if it all fails, like, oh, no. I mean, Dak is a great leader for me, and it's like I love learning from people because you can – not saying he's going to make mistakes, but you get to learn from people instead of you going out there and I'm messing it up. You know what I mean? Excuse me.
That's a pre-record. Right? Fine.
It's like you're going out there and you just like messing it up, or you can go out there, you can sit on the sideline, you can watch somebody else that's been in the league for his 10th year and learn from him. You know, he got a lot of knowledge. He done been around a lot of great people. But it's also like, I mean, everybody just like talking about me, I guess. I don't be bothering nobody. I like playing my video game. I love football. I like being at the house with my girl. I like playing with the dogs. And I like playing drums. And if I'm not doing that, it's like really, really don't care what people say, to be honest. Because it's like, you don't know me. You don't know me personally. You don't know what I go through. You don't know what I think. And you don't know how I feel about what's going on here. And I love what's going on here. So it's like, for me, y'all really just, they really just be talking just to talk, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah,
playing the drums though. Were you growing up playing the drums?
Yeah,
working on your triplets and everything.
Drumline was my favorite movie.
Okay, I get that. Yeah, I get that.
I know every beat off Drumline.
Who's your favorite drummer? Like, do you have one? Because mine's always been Dave Matthews, Carter Beaufort.
Nah, mine's just Nick Cannon from Drumline.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. That's what they go.
His solo is amazing. Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
I know it's just the first day of practice, but it's just your general philosophy. Can you win a practice? Like, you personally, do you feel like, oh, I won that practice today?
I feel like it ain't necessarily about winning a practice. It's about winning the day. What did you do from, like, this morning? I got up at 4:30. Like, what did I do from 4:30 to now?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To get myself ready for practice. I feel like that's how you win the day. It's not about just winning a practice. It's not about just going against the defense and beating the defense, because as a whole, we all need to work on something collectively and get better at something. You know, it was probably minor hiccups today, and it's like, let's go clean that up. So we really didn't win the day or win the practice because we had minor hiccups. But it's like, you know, that's why we got tomorrow. And tomorrow's not a promise, but you have an opportunity to. You know what I mean? When you lay your eyes, when you lay in your bed and close your eyes, you still have an opportunity. That's your opportunity to go to sleep, think about what happened, and, you know, wake up the next day and change it.
That's what I tell you all the time. We have a bad show. We got tomorrow. Let's make it better.
I get really angry about that. So, like, it just takes me a minute. Look, he knows very well. You're talking about knowing each other. If I get really mad, I just need, like, 5 minutes by myself, or else I'm just start spouting out some nonsense. And I was like, I need a minute. Sure. And so, you know.
And he cuts whenever he says things, too.
I give myself 5 seconds, too.
Yeah.
On the sideline, I give myself 5 seconds.
Some people think that makes you a I think it makes you passionate.
Yeah, it's all about how you talk to yourself. If you're big on yourself with criticizing, I feel like you're good to talk to yourself. Some people are not good with criticizing themselves. And I am, because I'm true and confident in who I am. So I talk to myself like I'm a...
I appreciate that.
Our morning show host, his name's RJ Choppy. He went to Tennessee. He is very jealous that we're talking to you today.
Yeah.
He is very jealous because... And he'll be out here next week. I'm sure he's going to come find you and everything. But he thinks highly of you. Tennessee, is that the second most intimidating stadium in all of college football? And what do you want us to say to RJ Choppy about his jealousy?
I wouldn't say nothing about his jealousy. I would mostly say, dang, you couldn't be here today. We're sorry about that. I can't wait to meet you.
That's nice.
Those guys didn't help you out by bringing you here today. but sorry to that. But and then Tennessee, the stadium, man, I don't know. Because when I was 17 going on 18, and I was in Penn State at that whiteout, Obama first came out,
Yeah, not. I got gotcha. You know we're videoing this, too, right?
That's why I can't say it. Like, I gotcha. Tennessee gets loud, but I can't.
Yeah. I just want to warn you about Choppy. I've seen him operate before. There was a time we were at the Super Bowl, at the Super Bowl bar. He saw Cooper Manning, and he walked over there to talk to Cooper Manning, and he posted up like he was going to hang out and have a conversation. Never met this guy in his entire life. And he's like, no, we're going to hang out and be friends. So don't get too close to RJ, because he's going to be like, what about your phone number? What's your player tag? Like, just be careful. He's a lovely person, and he loves Tennessee, but like, just a little
tag.
Yeah. Okay, good.
See how they
good.
Talk about you? These your friends.
He knows. I never said that. No, I said we worked together.
I'm just kidding.
All right, we gave you a couple minutes. Have you come up with your favorite fictitious character, quarterback, or the best fictitious quarterback?
To be honest with you, I'm going to have to say, nah, I really don't know, to be honest with you. I'm trying to think of the quarterback name from Little Giants. He was tossing.
Oh, he was like number 12 on the list.
He was in the top 20, and we were like, he's a kid.
But
they're like, okay, all right.
So who did y'all have?
Oh, Shane Falco from The Replacements. That's my guy right there.
I've seen that.
Yeah, you're going to have to check that one out. It's about whenever the league struck and all that, and they were like, we're still going to play anyway. And he came in and he took over.
Matter of fact, what's the movie The Rock is in?
And the Game Plan?
The Game Plan.
Yes.
There you go.
He was in the top 10. So
there you go. That's
a
good one.
There you go. All right. Man, thank you very much. Really appreciate your insight, and we're really pumped that you're part of the team.
Thank y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
Junior Floyd from the Little Giants was the name right there, but the people have spoken, Corey, and they want to hear.
I don't think we have time. We got to get a boat.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to leave that to Alec to make an executive decision. Alec, do you think we have time for Corey's forbidden question to Joe Milton?
I think we have time for it later in the show.
No. Yes.
Oh!
Yes, I got away.
All right. Later in the show, we will get to Corey Major's forbidden question Joe Milton. You're probably right. We probably shouldn't. Coming up next, though, we'll do a little bit of NFL overreaction or reality. Plus, we will talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. And then who knows? We might have time after that. Plus, a ticket giveaway. Woo! All of it next right here on The Fan.
Second and 15. Clock at a minute 17 in the game. Snap to Jones. They stunt. He throws it over the middle. That's intercepted at the 35 by Diggs.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live from Dallas Cowboys training camp. We're going to talk with Bruce Bochy and the surging Rangers in just a minute. But wanted to throw this out there from Andrew Marchand with The Athletic. It's really fascinating. I love the way he sets it up as well. In 1987, an 8-year-old cable network called ESPN was just in 41 million homes. They acquired the rights to 8 NFL regular season Sunday night games and the Pro Bowl for $51 million per year.
Cool.
Now, multiple sources have told Marchand, which, by the way, the NFL and ESPN declined to comment, which I'm sure they did, that the deal is now inside the 5-yard line, because you got to use football terminology, for ESPN to acquire NFL media.
Oh, wow.
So that is the arm of the league that focuses on content and runs the NFL network. I'm sure for a lot of people, they'll instantly think of Red Zone for approximately $2 billion. Now,
And does that mean that they're owned by Disney then too? NFL Network be owned by Disney?
I would assume that is correct.
All right.
Now, this is interesting for if you're like, well, how does this affect me? More specifically, I'll throw that out there. So ESPN has been hyping their direct-to-consumer line. Now, I know they have ESPN Plus as well, but this would be a way for people who are like, I really only want to watch the sports. I want to skip all of that. So ESPN would go direct-to-consumer for $29.99 a month. Now, how much easier of a sell is that if you've also acquired the NFL Network and NFL Media, which means, hey, it's $29.99 a month. That includes the Red Zone.
Yeah, no, that makes
you know
it a lot easier.
Saying?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, this is all bundled together,
as you like
to discuss.
Exactly.
I'm kind of curious on this front of, there's a lot of, there's a lot of mergers in this industry going on right now.
For sure. And look, you already saw it with like Disney going, hey, you should probably get this bundle, to Disney getting really aggressive. And they're like, hey, make the bundle happen. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, whether you're on the mound, at the plate, or on the road, National Car Rental invites you to stop waiting and start winning. Book like a winner today. And Olshan, it is time for our chat with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Howdy, sir. How we doing?
Hey, we're doing well. Thank you. How about you guys?
Man, we're doing fantastic. Do have to make it an admission to you, and I hope this is okay. We went to a Dodgers game last night because we're out here in Oxnard for Cowboys training camp, and we rooted for the Dodgers mainly because we want the Twins to not interfere in any potential wild card scenario.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Yeah. You know, I'm thinking like you are, you know, teams that we'll be competing down the stretch here with. So, no, as much as or as many times as I've rooted for them to get beat, yeah, I totally get that one.
Okay, good. We just wanted to make sure we knew you would understand our logic on that front.
Now, Boach, the last night, though, this is an interesting kind of – you don't have to comment on the team or the player, but Teoscar Hernandez bobblehead night, and he was not in the lineup. And we were kind of curious, have you ever been asked, hey, make sure that guy stays in the lineup, it's his bobblehead night, before?
You know, actually, it's come up where I didn't have a guy in the lineup and go, you know, it's a bobblehead night. But, you know, I guess we don't look, you know, I guess we should look at promotional stuff. But, you know, not to just cliche this thing is, you know, you still got to do what's right. Who knows? He might need it a day, whatever. But, yeah, that's definitely a tough day to take a night off.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And his family was there. It was this whole to-do. So, obviously, keep stacking up wins. I think we all understand that is the name of the game. But how encouraging is it for you, for the guys, to come out so hot in the second half of the season, especially with the trade deadline looming over not just y'all, but every team in Major League Baseball?
Well, I think we all know what's at stake as you know, we go into the second half, especially this first homestand and the teams that we're playing, that, you know, in order for us to, you know, stay in this thing, get to where we want to go, this was going to be a big homestand. We finished up on a good note. I was just hoping that that didn't break the momentum. And, you know, these guys came back ready to go, and we're doing what we need to do, and that's win games. I think everybody realized that. And I know the staff and I did, and the players, you know, these guys want to get there. So they'll be fighting, you know, the rest of the way.
And when you talk about stacking up those wins, you guys logically have also stacked up series wins over the last 14 series, 10 wins, only 3 series losses, and then 1 split. I know, like, tracking the standings every day would drive anybody insane, but does it not always feel like, hey, as long as we're winning series, we're logically progressing in the right direction?
Right. You do that the rest of the way. You know, you're going to be there, you know, but you also know that, you know, hey, if it doesn't happen, then, you know, you can't panic. You know, just keep focusing forward and win ball games. You know, sometimes you're going to stumble down the stretch. Hopefully not, because we're in a situation where, obviously, we can't afford a hiccup here or there. So come out every day ready to go. That's all you can do. And these guys are – I can't say enough about how they are staying focused and doing all they can to win a ball game.
Now, yesterday – obviously, a lot of standout performances to discuss. I wanted to go specifically to Corey Seager for just a second. On base streak up to 23 games. And during that, a ridiculous 1.148 OPS. We talk about Marcus Semien's been hot. Adolis, when he gets hot, is as good as anybody in baseball. But Corey Seager and how much he's heated up over the span of just about the last month.
Well, you've seen a great hitter, a great player get locked in is what it is. And we've seen it before with him when he gets his timing. It's incredible what he can do, and uses his whole field too. It's just not pulling the ball. He's one of the best hitters in the game, and so we need him. I mean, to be doing what he's doing, that's beyond. But that's how good he is, and that's what great hitters when they get on the roll and get in that zone, man. It's a joy to watch.
Is there ever a look or an attitude that you can tell, whether it's for Seager or anybody else, that, hey, I think they're about to be in that zone. I think they're about to really take off.
Yeah. Just watching the bats, how they take pitches, the swings are getting off. The result may not work out, but, yeah, I think you look at the quality of the AB. Sometimes you can have a night and you hit three balls hard. It's right at them. And we just have to remind the hitter, if you do that, you did your job. You beat the pitcher. He's got, guys out there helping him, so he's not going to beat you. So, don't get flustered by it. Keep throwing out those good at-bats. And got a couple guys we need to get in the zone or at least get their timing down. And, if that happens, we'll be fine this second half.
Yeah, and I've been discussing that off-air with Kevin a lot about the timing of these players and how you've been kind of discussing that with us all season long, and now it's starting to come around. To continue in that question, the Josh Jung, since he's been back and when he went down, can you tell a difference in maybe the bounce in his steps from before and now?
Oh, no doubt. I mean, to come back and hit a home run your first at bat.
Yes.
Sure, it was huge for us, but I think for him, he went down working on some things, and it took him a while to get his timing, and because you're still seeing good pitching down there. But as we went into this homestand here, we said we need our guys there. This is who we're going to battle with, and he's one of them. So to come up and make an impact on so fast, so quickly, we're lucky, that we have a guy like this that we could call on. And so his presence, I keep talking about, I said, has made a big difference for this club, too, to have one of their guys in that lineup again.
You talked about, obviously Josh Jung had to work on some things. I'm really curious. Did you think it was more about physical adjustments, more of a mental reset, or is it logically just a combination of both?
I think both. I do. Anytime players go into their little skids, slumps, whatever you want to call it, it becomes a mental deal, And then, they start changing things, or the slump can be caused by a mechanical move. And we have all this information that we can give players, looking at swings, their current swings versus when they were going well. Are they striding more? Are they not getting their foot down? All these little things that they were doing well before. So, it's both. One starts the other one, though, I can tell you that. The frustration when you're not having good results, then it starts to beat you up mentally. Some guys, to the point they lose sleep and they come in here and they hit for an hour. They're trying to figure it out. Then you get to the point of diminishing return by overdoing it.
I know versatility is always a good thing to have on the club. I'm curious in terms of John Gray, kind of what y'all envision for him coming back, and were there any discussions at all about him potentially closing?
He's going to help out everywhere. John is a guy that can give you multi-innings and a high-leverage role. He can start. He could close games. We're excited, first of all, to get him back, and we saw what he did for us in the postseason, pitching out of the bullpen, and he's got good fastball with the slider, and he's got the experience, and we need help right now with Martin going down. So, you'll see him in the different roles. He could get a spot start when we have this long stretch without a day off, to give the guys a break. So we'll see where we're at.
You'd mentioned how enjoyable it is to have somebody like Marcus Semien who can go throughout the lineup and he's not like really complaining about it. Same thing for John Gray then. How nice of an asset is it to have somebody that's like, maybe we needed to start, maybe it's a spot start in the bullpen, maybe closing. How much of a luxury is it to have that kind of person who's like, hey, whatever the team needs?
I tell you, for a manager, it's such a nice luxury. It can be, you know, kind of a rare deal too when you have guys like John Gray. And I'll go back to Dunning. You look what he did in 23. He was in the bullpen, saving us there with the length he was giving us. Jacob went down and stepped in, and you look at Lats, what he's doing this year. Those guys are invaluable. They actually, you can argue they're the most valuable guy on the staff because of their versatility, their length, and ability to pitch high leverage situations and ability to start.
You ever have those tough conversations with somebody and they were unwilling to do something like that? And like, how did you respond with that?
A couple times, I'm sure you're going to have that career when you're changing roles or whatever. And, you just tell them this is what we think's best for the club. But not very often, though. But you're always going to get one guy that's kind of set in his way and the ego gets in the way. And, sometimes you got to make a move with that player because if he's unhappy, he's not going to accept it, then he's not going to do a good job at it or try to do a good job. And you want him in the right frame of mind. But, I've seen amazing guys, pitchers. Tim Lincecum, for example, who was one of our starters, won two Cy Youngs and had to put him in the bullpen, to help us out. And he said, hey, I just want to win, whatever you want. And he did a great job down there. And that's the attitude that hopefully these guys have when you do have to make a change in their role.
Yeah, we've always felt like your club, this club specifically, has some pretty good dudes on it. Speaking of, Rowdy Tellez, he seems like a good dude. What kind of personality does he bring to this clubhouse now that he's kind of here for this time?
He's loose. He's got a sense of humor. I think players have a lot of fun with him. He doesn't live far from here, so I know he's excited about being here, but another veteran that guys joke around with, and he's fun to watch. When you look at him, he looks like the big bully that stole your lunch money and ate it too, though. But here he is helping us win ball games now.
I love it. I love it.
Did you by chance hear anything about his interview with our afternoon show yesterday?
No. Tell me about it.
No.
they might have really focused on the weight as part of a lot of their interview questions, and I know he's a funny guy. I don't know if he totally loved all of those questions.
He seemed like a good dude.
Yeah.
He did a great job with it yesterday.
Yeah, no, he is. He's been great. He's been a nice addition.
Can you tell us anything about the thoughts about Eovaldi? Is it possible he'll start Friday or Saturday?
Yeah, right now we got him scheduled to pitch on Friday. All goes well today. He has a bullpen, and then that will clear the way for him to start Friday.
And I know it was his back and not his arm, but coming back from, missing a start, are there any restrictions on him or anything like that if he does pitch on Friday?
No. We feel like, he's good to go. His normal start, around 90 pitches in there. Like you said, it wasn't the arm. It hasn't been that long.
And then I don't ever want to lose sight of this. One of the things we were talking about earlier in the show is not only is Jacob DeGrom pitching very well, but how huge has it been that your team has been able to take advantage of those quality starts? Because that's something, whether you look at Pittsburgh with Paul Skenes or any number of different places, just because you get a good start doesn't necessarily mean you'll win the game.
Oh, you're right. You're right. No, it's a good point. Nothing bothers a manager more. Probably everybody, when you get a good start, a great start, and you don't win the game, lose 1-0 or 2-1, and But we have taken advantage of it, as you said. And, yeah, that is big. That is big. You know, those are the games, you know, you feel like you should win, and you should. And so, yeah, that's been going very well, how we're finding ways to win his games with his quality starts.
I am really curious. I know the key for you as the manager is just to win the game, but what do you think about the concept of pitcher wins? Is that still important? Because I know there's a lot of fans out there who are like, meh, starting pitching wins is not that important anymore because of this and that. Do you still think that's an important stat?
Yeah, there's something about a win. I still think it is. Yeah, it's lost its value in our game, you know, the way pitching is being used. But I know as a kid, man, I looked at it, you know, number one's a pitcher. And, it's too bad because, you know, it's like the batting average, you know, home runs, RBIs. Well, home runs are still there. But, you know, it's just where the game has changed. But I hate to see that because, you know, it lost the focus, the mentality of the starting pitcher going, I'm going to get a win tonight. I'm going to, you know, he's getting it. You know, I'm going to get him deep in the game. I'll figure a way to win this ball game. It may not be a pretty win. It may be, you know, you're scoring runs, you're giving up runs, but you're battling to do what you can to get that W. And we probably have lost that just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, a great example of kind of the signs of the times of baseball. The first time I saw it at Globe Life Field, instead of the batting average next to the players, it was the OPS that got put up there. And, man, that was just like, I know why, but that kind of, like you were talking about with the wins, that kind of felt like a culture shock for a longtime baseball fan.
Oh, yeah. No, it has. Believe me, my wife, she got on me about that. She goes, I want the batting average up there.
Well, yeah, tremendous. Obviously, team closed out on a roll, been doing really well. Best of luck today against the A's. And then best of luck finishing out the homestand against the Braves. Appreciate it, sir.
All right, guys. Thank you. Always good talking to you.
Yes, sir.
There you go. Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. And Bruce Bochy, of course, is brought to you by Olshan. And, you know, whenever you're on the mound, at the plate, or on the road, National Car Rental invites you to stop waiting and start winning. Book like a winner today. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And, Corey, I feel like it's about that
time. Let's get something away!
877-881-1053. Caller number 10
now
will win a pair of pit tickets to go see Treaty Oak Revival on August 15th at the Pavilion at Toyota Music Factory. This is, of course, courtesy of Live Nation. You can go buy tickets right now, or you can win them for free. 877-881-1053. In the meantime, guys are calling in. We're going to be doing this giveaway all week long. Do you want to do a little bit of NFL overreaction or reality?
Sounds good to me, dude.
All right.
They're getting the sound check set up right now for Schottenheimer coming up here in a moment.
Okay, Schottenheimer, and man, I love how punctual he has been. Love it, love it, love it. All right, so I was reading an article about the most overrated and underrated teams in the NFL.
Okay.
Now, I know that might seem like a somewhat ridiculous concept since we haven't even actually gotten to the preseason games just yet.
Right.
But
this is just based on logo and history, huh?
I mean, I don't know about the logo part, maybe. Right. I don't know why everyone answered the way they did. All right, Corey, and in a minute, Alec, if you guys had to guess, or maybe your own thoughts, who is the most overrated NFL team heading into this season?
The Bills.
The Bills did not make the top five, leading the way. The Green Bay Packers got 34% of the vote, followed by the Texans, the Commanders, which I do kind of get that. Like, I understand why Commanders fans would expect huge things going forward, but I could see how some people might not be sold. Then the Vikings and the Chiefs. So that's
interesting on the Chiefs.
Five.
How are they overrated? They've been to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Multiple times.
Do you think that could just be a fatigue vote right there?
That probably is.
Like, I'm tired of them being so damn good all the time.
I mean, that happened to the Patriots, right?
Yes,
they
absolutely
pop up out of nowhere, and then you're just like, good gosh, it's just all of them all the time.
Absolutely. So Packers, Texans, Commanders, Vikings, Chiefs. All right. Most underrated teams in all of the NFL.
I'm going to go with Carter's or Alex's pick yesterday, the Broncos.
The Denver Broncos are number one on the list. They are the number one most underrated NFL team, followed by, I mean, you already got the top one. Do you want to take another guess?
Are the Chargers in there, or are they overrated?
The Chargers are number four okay. on the most underrated list.
All right. I don't.
You can stop and cash out at any time.
Okay, I will stop. Actually, I want to take one more guess.
All right.
There was a quarterback on that said that his team had a terrible first practice and that they have a lot to clean up. I'm going to go with the Bengals.
The Bengals are second on the list. Look, whether it was Joe Milton, who we had on earlier, Joe Burrow, I appreciate the straight-to-the-point honesty of, yeah, this is the first day and you could tell. Like,
it was poor.
Yeah.
We got a lot to fix.
Absolutely. That makes a lot
of
sense.
I'll cash out now.
Yeah. Okay, good. By the way, also, wouldn't you just inherently not trust a quarterback who came out and was like, yeah, we pretty much got it.
After you like, saw what happened?
Yeah. I'd be like, no, it's the first day of
training
camp.
It's kind of like this idea of like, guys, I'm trying to protect you. And you're like, no, I don't need protection. I need to be better.
Yes, absolutely. So Broncos, number one. Bengals, number two. This one is interesting. This feels kind of like a Shedeur Sanders situation, where we all know that they dropped and why they dropped, but perhaps they've dropped too far. The 49ers are third on the list.
They play a very physical style of football.
Yes, they do.
Last year, it seemed like that kind of had worn them out, and they had injuries start to pile up on them, and they were just like, man, I don't know if we can do it again. And when Debo would get hurt, that kind of hurt them emotionally, because they knew, look, when Debo gets the ball, we feel confident.
Yes.
But he would get hurt, and then they were like, oh, man, like we thought we were on this run, and he gets hurt again. So I understand this a little bit. I don't think they're going to be back as quickly to the prominence that they were. But that is it's a well-coached team. They have talent on it, too.
And then we wrap it up with the Chargers, who you mentioned, and the Steelers as the fifth most underrated team. I don't know if that's just like an Aaron Rodgers contingent or a Mike Tomlin group or just people who just think they're underrated because they're underrated.
Yeah, I can see that. I understand that a little bit. It just seems like you're like, okay, what exactly is that team? Dude, it looks like just a bunch of stuff thrown together right now. And defense is going to be good. Isn't that how you feel about that?
Yeah.
Like it's just like they throw it all together, and good luck, Mike Tomlin. Get that pot stirring, man.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for a combination segment. We will have the C Block, as well as we will hear from Coach Schottenheimer right here in your home of the Cowboys, live from Oxnard on 105.3 The Fan.